Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're diving into Tina Seelig's What I Wish I Knew When I Was 20. Sophie, I have to ask, what's the one lesson you wish you'd learned way earlier in life?
Oh, that's easy. I wish someone had told me that failure isn't the end of the world. It's just feedback. And that's a huge theme in this book. Seelig really nails how our education system trains us to avoid mistakes, but the real world rewards those who learn from them.
Yeah, totally. She opens with this idea that there are unspoken rules governing success, and nobody teaches them. We're all taught to follow instructions and find the right answer, but life doesn't work that way. It's about reframing problems.
Exactly. And she has this great exercise where she asks students to sell her a $5 bill. Most people offer it for less, but the smart ones reframe the whole thing. One student sold it for 20 bucks by promising to share a money-making secret. It's not about the money, it's about seeing the real opportunity.
That's such a powerful story. It shows that the way you frame a problem determines what solutions you can see. I remember a time I was stuck on a project, and I kept trying to fix the same issue. Then I stepped back and realized I was asking the wrong question entirely.
Right. And that's what she calls problem finding. Instead of just solving what's in front of you, you question whether it's even the right problem to solve. That mindset opens up so many more possibilities.
And she ties it into reframing failure. There's a story about a student who got rejected from a program and was devastated. But she helped them see it as a detour, not a dead end. They eventually found an even better path.
That's such a healthy way to look at it. The story you tell yourself about an event shapes how you respond. If you see failure as proof you're not good enough, you stop trying. But if you see it as data, you can adjust and move forward.
And that's why she says to fail fast and learn quickly. The most successful people aren't the ones who avoid failure. They're the ones who have a good relationship with it. They treat it as tuition for a lesson.
Yeah. She even tells a story about a student whose first startup failed spectacularly. He lost money and felt humiliated, but within a year he started another company that became a huge success. He said the first failure taught him everything he needed to know about what not to do.
That's such a great example. And it ties into another big idea. You don't need to have everything figured out before you start. Perfectionism is the enemy of action. She talks about a student who spent months planning and researching, while another student just started and learned by doing. By the time the perfectionist was ready, the market had changed.
That's the test and learn approach. Instead of trying to predict if something will work, you run small experiments. Want to know if you'd like a career? Interview people in that field. Volunteer. Take a class. You make a decision and then make it right.
And that's so freeing. You don't need to see the whole path, just the next few steps. She compares it to driving at night with your headlights. You can only see a little bit ahead, but you can still make the whole journey.
That's a beautiful metaphor. It takes away the pressure of having to know exactly where you're going. You just need a general direction and the willingness to adjust.
Exactly. And she also talks about how careers aren't linear anymore. It's not about climbing one ladder. It's about building a portfolio of skills and experiences. Each role, each failure, is data that helps you understand what you're good at and what you enjoy.
That's so relevant today. And she has practical advice on negotiation too. A lot of people, especially women and minorities, are reluctant to ask for what they deserve. She says to frame it in terms of value, not need. Instead of, "I need a raise," say, "Here's the value I've created, and here's why investing in me makes sense."
That's such a smart shift. It changes the dynamic from needy to collaborative. And it's not just about money. It's about advocating for your ideas, too.
Right. And she talks about building a diverse network, not just collecting business cards. It's about genuine relationships with people who have different perspectives. The best ideas come from the intersection of different fields.
And you should invest in your network early, not when you need something. Be generous with your time and knowledge. The people you help today might open doors for you tomorrow.
Exactly. And she also challenges the idea of follow your passion as misleading. Passion is about what excites you, but purpose is about what the world needs. The most fulfilling careers combine both. You need to find the intersection of what you love, what you're good at, and what the world values.
That's such a nuanced take. It's not just about doing what you love. It's about making sure it matters to others too. And she has that great story about a student with no money or experience who started by doing small jobs in his community. He learned customer service, pricing, marketing, and eventually built a successful company. You just need to start somewhere.
That's the core message. Stop waiting for permission, stop fearing failure, and start living the life you want. The only thing standing between you and your dreams is the story you tell yourself about what's possible.
And that's a powerful note to end on. If there's one thing I'm taking away, it's that I need to reframe my problems and embrace failure as a teacher. It's time to act my way into a new life instead of thinking my way into it.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. Remember, life isn't a dress rehearsal. Start now, fail forward, and rewrite your story. We'll see you in the next one.